Today, the World Health Organization confirmed that two teenagers in Turkey have died from bird flu. They're the first human cases outside of Eastern Asia. There's been no sustained human-to-human transmission of the H5N1 flu strain yet. If that happened, it could touch off a potentially devastating pandemic.
In this country, the Bush administration has been pressing cities and states to get ready for a flu pandemic. Many local authorities are just getting started. Few have any plans in place to deal with the massive number of people who would need hospital care. Fewer still have concrete plans to cope with extended periods of school cancellations and business closures.
There is at least one exception, Seattle and surrounding King County in Washington State. Their plan was just released. It's based on the deadly flu pandemic of 1918.
NPR has obtained new estimates showing more precisely how a severe pandemic could unfold in Seattle. NPR's Richard Knox shared those numbers with city and county planners there as they detailed how they would deal with the pandemic.
It's just past noon, and a jumbo jet from Taipei pulls into the gate at SeaTac International Airport in Seattle. Weary passengers make their way through customs and onto their connecting flights.
Newark?
Dr. Peter Hauck of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is watching the passengers closely.
On this flight, I've kept track for a while, just very randomly, and 6 or 10 people clear their throat or cough between that doorway and the escalator over there. But if somebody is really having more of an influenza cough, that's going to stand out.
That person would be pulled aside and isolated while a flu test was done. The rest of the passengers could be quarantined for several days. Thousands of people fly into Seattle from abroad every day. If a flu pandemic were starting anywhere in the world, Peter Hauck would be meeting every international flight trying to detect infected passengers. But he says it's an impossible job.
We can only find people who have symptoms. But there's no way for us to say that the asymptomatic person in seat 22A is either infected or not infected. They look normal. We can't pick up on that.
And how long can they be infected and infectious to others and not be symptomatic?
I don't think you can say that with certainty. Maybe hours to a day or so.
Long enough to fly from Taipei to Seattle.
Certainly. Certainly.
So if a pandemic virus is circulating anywhere, it will get into the country. There's just no stopping it. That's why health officials like Dr. Jeff Duchin are spending a lot of time these days planning for the inevitable.
Good morning. Are we your first customers today? One cappuccino, please.
Duchin is lanky and low-key. He's chief of infection control for the Seattle King County Public Health Department. Today, he's going to a breakfast meeting at a local hospital.
Basically, I'll go wherever they'll invite me. I'll go just about anywhere that they'll listen.
Warning businesses, police chiefs, everyone who needs to be planning for a flu pandemic. He tells them the number of people who could get sick and die is like nothing in living memory.
The bad pandemic scenario is absolutely the worst thing that you can imagine. It stresses the system in a way that no other type of disaster does.
Nationally, the federal government is estimating that 90 million Americans would get sick in a flu pandemic. That's based in part on recent research from Emory University and the Los Alamos National Laboratory. The researchers provided NPR with numbers showing how the pandemic would unfold in the Seattle area. We showed them to Dr. Duchin.
We're looking at 19,000 ill on day 68. 80,000 ill in the first 2 months of the outbreak.
80,000 sick in the Seattle area by that point, and 1 in 10 of them might need to be hospitalized.
No healthcare system is built to manage these large numbers. Currently, the healthcare system is designed, like every other business, to be efficient, lean and mean. And unless we start investing in changing that to prepare for public health emergencies, it's just going to be plain mean.
Chris Martin is worried about that. She's director of emergency services at Harborview, King County's public hospital.
It's very frightening, I think, for all of us to think about running out of supplies and really running out of the capacity to care for patients because, again, I've been doing this job for a long time and that's never happened. It sounds very, very overwhelming.
The new analysis obtained by NPR shows how overwhelming it could be. On day 68 of a pandemic, Seattle area hospitals might have to take care of 1,900 flu patients. Martin's pretty confident they could do that, But on day 78, there might be 6,300 people needing hospital care. And on day 88, the peak, it could be 9,000 just on that one day alone.
Clearly, we could not take care of 9,000 patients and support them from a ventilatory standpoint.
There'd be a dire shortage of ventilators or breathing machines. Jeff Duchin says they might even have to train volunteers to stand by the bedside of critically ill patients and squeeze a rubber bag to help them breathe.
If you don't have any choice and that's a way you can keep somebody alive, we'll find people to squeeze the bag.
Chris Martin says doctors and nurses would have to make hard choices during the worst weeks of a pandemic.
That's when you would really look at those elderly people, the patients that really would have a much less probability of surviving.
Those patients would be allowed to die. Planners openly acknowledge they wouldn't make heroic efforts to save people past a certain age or those who have conditions such as emphysema or heart disease. Dr. Peter McGough is a primary care doctor in Seattle. He says the clamor for drugs, hospital beds, and respirators could result in chaos and that decisions must be made now about who will live and who would die.
We can't make it on a person-by-person basis where I say, you know, I'm going to give it to you, but not to you. We need to have somebody that says, these are the healthcare criteria that we're establishing for how these, you know, limited resources are being dispersed, and then requiring us, under legal authority, to follow those rules. And there are people that are always unhappy with it, and we know that. But we treat it very seriously. In this case, since it would literally be life and death, I totally understand there would be people that would be just frantic. Trying to access some of the stuff.
But there simply wouldn't be enough to go around. So the medical examiner's office is planning for as many as 1,000 deaths a day, more than 10 times the usual rate. Crematoriums and embalmers couldn't handle that load. The county's even planning a website to advise families on how to ice down a corpse until mortuary workers could collect it. Is there any way to prevent this? Maybe, but only by closing down places where people gather, like the Pike Place Market.
Anybody here for fresh fish? Salmon, crab, halibut, sword, tuna, mayonnaise, fresh fish.
Jeff Duchin is having a fish sandwich for lunch at the market. It's one of Seattle's liveliest and most crowded places.
Every weekend, basically, this place is packed.
Is that a public health nightmare if you have a pandemic?
Well, this is the type of environment that we would be concerned about for transmission of influenza if there was a pandemic in the community. This is the type of social setting that would lead us to consider trying to cancel similar venues because of the proximity. One person to the next here, the people are literally right in one another's faces.
Come on in, folks.
Face-to-face contact spreads the flu virus easily through respiratory droplets. It's one of the most contagious germs around. To slow the spread, Seattle officials say they'd be urging people to stay home from work and avoid going out in public whenever they can. They'll do that early when only a few dozen people are sick in the entire county. And then there's the problem of schools.
Good morning, students.
Good morning.
Do you know what flu is?
School children spread flu viruses around the community better than any other group. School nurse Peggy McAvoy is teaching first graders at Hawthorne Elementary School a lesson in respiratory etiquette.
We have found that it's better to cover your cough by coughing into your elbow. I want everybody to practice that with me. Cover your cough. Excellent job.
But that won't be enough to stop a pandemic. Duchin says officials would probably close schools early on.
I mean, when I mentioned this to my own wife, I said, you know, we need to be prepared to homeschool our kids for 6 to 12 weeks. You know, she looked at me like I had two heads, both of them bald.
Closing schools, shutting down movie theaters, canceling Seattle Sonics basketball games, these are almost impossible political decisions. Seattle Mayor Ole Hansen was vilified when he imposed these classic public health measures during the 1918 pandemic. Hansen resigned and left town within a year. But Ron Sims, the current chief executive of King County, says he wouldn't hesitate.
I have no problem pulling the trigger on this. I really don't. Because we have told people it will not be business as usual. It will not be life as people have known it during that period of time. And our sole goal is to reduce the prospect of loss of life.
Sims assumes the region will be on its own, partly because every city and town in America would be dealing with its own flu problems.
We are not waiting for the federal government to come and tell us what to do next, because if I learn anything from Hurricane Katrina, it is do not do it like they did. That was an absolute failure.
Sims doubts King County can ever really be prepared for a pandemic that would drag on for months and present hospitals with an influx of thousands of critically ill patients a day.
We have maximized our effort for King County. We really have. We are prepared to move heaven and earth, but we're not prepared to handle 9,000 sick people who need acute care. We're not prepared for that.
Librarian Catherine Long takes us to the sub-basement of the Seattle Times to see stacks of big books, musty volumes of newspapers from early in the last century.
And this is a stack from 1914 to 1919, so the volumes you're interested are going to be in here.
These crumbling papers document the sort of thing federal officials and their counterparts here are planning for, the devastating pandemic of 1918.
Oh, they're big books.
Jeff Duchin is searching through these archives to get a better sense of how they handled it back then.
Oh, it's got to be close.
October 1918.
Right, there it is.
On October 6, 1918, flu news almost pushed the events of World War I off the front page. Seattle officials closed pool rooms, churches, dance halls, libraries, restaurants, businesses of every kind. Spitting was strictly prohibited. Ladies' faces were covered in 6 layers of gauze.
So there's a giant header here, help bar deadly influenza from Seattle. Don't get into crowds. Don't cough or sneeze without using a handkerchief. Get plenty of fresh air. And when the symptoms of a cold appear, isolate yourself as far as possible from others. Sounds a lot like what we'd be recommending today.
And really, these simple old public health measures will be the main defenses against the next pandemic. Officials here are not counting on a vaccine. They are going to spend $several million to build a local stockpile of the drug Tamiflu, but that's not for ordinary citizens. It's to keep essential workers on the job in hospitals, police cars, and power companies. In the face of something like 1918, officials say they can't do much more now than their predecessors did 88 years ago. Richard Knox, NPR News.
To see how a flu pandemic might unfold across America, visit NPR.org. Tomorrow, a report on a company in Britain that's preparing to make the first batch of human bird flu vaccine for the U.S.